being contentious. I don't know if we want to be contentious, but when there's stuff out there, issues, whatever, people you disagree with, how do you engage with them kindly, respectfully, and truthfully as a Christian? Because it seems like no matter how often we're discussing this, we still have trouble doing this well, both in public platforms and even just hanging around at work and with our friends and family. So welcoming today, Alice, Paul, and Jeff. Hey, guys.
Hi. Hey, thank you, Lisa.
Great to have you. Okay. Sorry that you got pulled into this one because you're contentious people or have to talk to people about this all the time. But no, we thought this would be helpful. In fact, I will lead with the fact that, you know, even sometimes Boundless has to put some stuff out there. Not that we try to be like, you know, I can't stand it when people deliberately are just trying to get a rise out of people or just get weird or angry and stuff. And we know social media, that happens all the time. But once in a while, we'll kind of, you know, step out and say something, whether it's, you know, something about scripture or something in the culture that's gone on. A while back, we did a post related to Lauren Daigle's comments on homosexuality when she stated them on a popular podcast. And, you know, we had a lot of our audience that was like, thanks for clarifying. Thanks for saying that. And a lot of people that were like, why do you hate Lauren Daigle? And I was like, we don't hate Lauren Daigle. But sometimes you have to just reiterate what scripture says on certain things. And it's not that you think the people are crazy or hate the people, but you want to be clear. And so I want to kind of preface it by saying that, you know, I think Paul and Jeff, you guys have to do this for your jobs. Jeff, you're an issues analyst. And Paul's our VP of communications here and so has to do all things outward facing related to public relations, media relations. And so you kind of enter that fray a lot.
Sure. I mean, we obviously deal directly with media, mm-hmm. which you are well familiar with. And you obviously do your best to engage in a winsome way that is clear because you don't want to, you know, you're trying to, they're coming to us for questions. Mm-hmm. So we want to give them clear answers.
Yeah.
And sometimes what we have to say is not what they want to hear. And yeah. That's, it's always a challenge to try and communicate that in a way that is unique, but it's also rooted in the scriptural truths that we base the entire ministry on.
Yeah, that's interesting. I used to, back in the day, I was a writer here at Focus, and I remember one of the reasons I actually went into PR and later did some PR and media relations here at Focus was I remember thinking to myself, man, why do people just hate us? Like, there would be something in the news, and all of a sudden, there was just all this, like, you guys are so evil, and here's what you think about this. And so I was always trying to make friends and kind of become part of that world a little bit. And so it kind of brought me into that aspect of my career. All right. And Alice, tell us a little bit about your, other than just your, you know, your personality, that how has this affected you?
Well, as I shared on previous broadcasts, I have a daughter who's in the homosexual lifestyle. And that has been huge for me in learning how to communicate, how to continue to love her in spite of our different thoughts, if you will, a number of family members who are not believers in Christ. And we may see things differently, but I still love you. But we have some great discussions around these things.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I think of our audience, mostly young adults, it seems like there aren't a lot of young adults out there that are like, well, I'm going to make a name for myself by being really rude or by stating stuff and, you know, being super polarizing on something. I feel like most of us fall into, you know, we have trouble speaking the truth or standing up for truth or whatever and loving people in the process, either because we don't want to offend people, so we go a little bit soft, and we certainly don't want that to reflect on us, or we genuinely do not know what we believe or why we believe it. And so I think sometimes we're in a little bit in both camps. But, you know, and it could vary. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, we used homosexuality as one example. What are some of the types of issues out there that you guys are encountering right now that you find to be ones where you're either bracing yourself around the table for conversation, or you find yourself just constantly, you know, having to speak out on for whatever reason?
Well, I have a couple thoughts on that. I mean, Karen Pence has been in the news recently because she's teaching at a Christian school, and the school has standards for sexuality and marriage. And I'm reading the articles that where people are attacking her for teaching there. And some of the language they use, they say that she's anti-LGBT or she wants to ban LGBT students. And so one of the things that we try to equip people to do is use language that's appropriate. So you won't find us on our website. We try not to even use terms like pro-LGBT or because then that makes us seem like we're anti that. Mm-hmm. And we're for people. So we try not even to label people by their sexuality. And so we think through ahead of time the words we're going to use and how we're going to talk about this issue. So I was doing an interview recently, and the gal was talking to me on the phone for a pre-interview. And she was talking about, well, let's say there's somebody in the church and they're living homosexually. Would you judge them? And I just started laughing, and I said, no, that's not my job to judge them. I don't even use that kind of language with those people. That's just not my job. And so I'm constantly trying to explain things to people in the language we use, not necessarily on their terms.
Hmm. You know, Lisa, I was just talking with our oldest son about this the other day, and I said, look, at the heart of this conversation is really a matter of, you know, we hear about IQ. It's really about EQ, like emotional intelligence, to know when you walk into a situation how best to converse with the group. And so, you know, Jeff mentions Mrs. Pence. Well, obviously, the big kahuna topic is President Trump. And everyone has an opinion about it. It's like daylight savings time. Everybody has an opinion about that. Mm-hmm. And President Trump is another one. And it seems to be in every news story. It seems to be every day there's a new drama. There's a new controversy. And, you know, it obviously is going to be a subject of conversation. Now, if you go into a conversation with someone who disagrees with you dogmatically and try and be all, here and there and in someone's face, it's not going to go very well. But if you go in and ask, to me, a lot of this is asking questions. When you're talking with someone that clearly has a different point of view, rather than state your point of view, ask them questions about their point of view. And I think that's an engaging, endearing habit that tends to pull the person in, because it you're not going to come to necessarily common ground, but you're at least going to have a dialogue. And that's a good thing. I think it leaves the other person feeling at least valued, if not, agreeing with you.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, in most of these cases, you have some kind of relationship with these people beyond the issues at hand. I mean, what bugs me is when Christians tend to enter the ring just when they want to, like, make a point or get crazy about something, and then there's no context of relationship or, you know, what do they think about the NFL? What do they think about tacos? What do they think? And it's like all of a sudden your only point of reference for them is stuff like, you know, these polarizing
issues.
Well,
and not every thought has to be shared. There was an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal the other day of a guy who said he's off Twitter because he said he hates knowing what everybody is thinking. And he said there used to be a time where there was mystery and mm-hmm. not everyone felt like, you know, every thought, you know, every thought can be held captive, but it's probably a good idea to, not say exactly what you're thinking at every moment. And unfortunately, social media has given people the forum to do that. Yeah. And that is probably not a very good thing.
And I like what both of you have said, Paul and Lisa. Paul, especially asking questions. You know, I follow that up with listening to what they have to say. I have found so often that people just want to tell others what they think, maybe what you're doing wrong. And it is about relationship, Lisa. And so for us, dealing with these hard topics and still showing love, we're really in the thick of it with our daughter and having to decide whether to go to a homosexual wedding ceremony, if you will. And there's the question about, well, if you're a Christian, you love everybody and you're judging me, you're saying I'm this, I'm that. There's a lot to that. But first and foremost, for us, for my husband and myself, it's about making sure that they know that we love them. Mm-hmm. And we're no better. We're no different. And it's how we live our everyday life as well.
Yeah. What I think is interesting is, you know, there's almost for me a little bit of a delineation between stuff that I feel scripture is very clear on and stuff that my opinion will never change on. And, you know, and this could be it could be an issue like homosexuality, where I feel like when I read Romans 1, when I read 1 Corinthians 6, that seems pretty clear to me. And people are trying to make all different interpretations about that. Or the fact that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I feel like those kind of claims you can kind of make, and most of my friends, even the ones that disagree with me, know where I stand on that. And then I can backfill with all the other life stuff and with the love and with the relationship. And then if that issue comes up again, it's like, yeah, well, you know where I stand on that, or else I have to restate it or whatever. But then there are the issues of, you know, Paul, you brought up Trump. What I think about Trump is not going to affect anyone's salvation at some point, or it's not going to. And so, you know, you can kind of, there's a little more room for play as far as like, okay, well, you know, my opinion may change in one way or another on this aspect or this issue or whatever. And so I think that allows for more conversation on that. But it's kind of like we get, you know, into these exhaustive, which scripture says not to do, arguments and controversies and stuff like that around stuff that we truly believe is life or death, and instead of, you know, giving room for conversation on the things that truly are negotiable.
I think that's good. And I think one of the things that we try to do is even shift the conversation. So instead, you know, I don't want to talk about homosexuality all the time. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing an interview or when a group of students comes here and they ask us questions, I don't talk about that as much as I talk about marriage and what God's design is and why marriage is a good thing and what it does for children and what it does for society and the good it does for families and even for the married couple themselves. And so shifting it over to the positive instead of focusing on, you know, where somebody's sinning. I mean, I struggle sometimes with my weight, and I don't want somebody pointing their finger all the time at me talking about how tubby I am or what I need to eat or what I not need to not eat. I mean, if that's not a good basis for a relationship. Mm-hmm. So shifting it over to something positive makes a big difference, I think.
Yeah. And why do we have to agree on everything? Like, mm-hmm. why can there not be a difference of opinion and a spirited debate? To me, that's more interesting. It's mm-hmm. way more fun to have a room full of people who have different points of view than to be, you know, all singing off the same sheet and just parroting what the other person's saying. I mean, if you want that, go turn on cable news, and mm-hmm. you'll find that, because each network kind of has their thing, and they tend to fill the slots with those people who are just reaffirming what they believe. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to human relationship and human friendship, I mean, some of the most interesting people in my world are people that are kind of out there. Mm-hmm. They're eccentric. You know, I had a guy on my street who, you know, was the town mayor and plowed the street and had an opinion about everything. He's kind of like Norm on Cheers. Mm-hmm. And that is an interesting person to me. Mm-hmm. And I disagree with him on some of the major things. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot more interesting talking with him. So why? I'm not going to try and convince him that I'm right. I'd rather hear from him.
Yeah. It was interesting because I was in a group of friends here, neighbors and stuff, who would get together and we'd discuss issues and stuff. And I remember one guy, and he knew that I work for a Christian ministry and stuff. And he was talking one time about how he and his wife decided that they were going to move their computer into the living room so that his teenage son could look at porn, and how they felt like that was a much better solution than just his son looking at porn, whatever, privately. And at least then we can supervise it and we know what he's looking at and stuff. And it was just like, for me, I was like, okay, clearly this is not going to fly, and I'm going to have to say something. I cannot just be like, oh my goodness, that's such a great idea. How'd you even come up with that? But it was like, I had to think to myself and just be like, okay. And I just decided to hit it head on. And I was like, okay, I do not agree with that. I think there are a lot of reasons why that's not a good idea. And I could probably share them with you if you're ever interested, I said. But, and then kind of to Jeff's point, you know, then we deflected and we moved on to something else that was, you know, because again, I didn't want it to be, now I'm the angry person who's just going to tell you why you're stupid because of this opinion. And so we broadened the conversation into other things. But I think it is hard to go there. What, Jeff, I wanted you to share a little bit, because you not long ago had a national TV interview where a portion of your story was completely left out of the interview. How do we feel? Let's kind of turn the tables on ourselves, being Christians and feeling like sometimes we're misrepresented or people aren't loving to us in allowing us to share what we believe.
Well, I had to think through ahead of time, what do I expect from this? And this was with CBS Sunday Morning. And the reporter who's also a lawyer, so she's a journalist and a lawyer, double whammy, mm-hmm. was asking me questions. Mm-hmm. And we talked for almost an hour and 45 minutes, almost 2 hours. And they put in a 50-second clip. And I knew from the start that it was going to be adversarial because she started out asking my story. And then she jumped in after a couple minutes with questions and hammering me on stuff. And my goal was to communicate what I believed truthfully, to keep my tone even and conversational, to not get mad at her. And one of my goals was to maybe try to get her to think a little bit about where she was coming from. And there were a couple times in the conversation where she stopped. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm getting through with something that will challenge her whole narrative on this issue. But I went in not expecting a whole lot from them. So I didn't get all miffed when, you know, I wasn't the star of the piece and they didn't put 10 minutes of me in there. So I anticipated what I thought was going to happen. Then I tried to figure out how am I going to respond in this. And I had a lot of coaching from people here at Focus on the Family. We went through this over and over again. And so that was helpful, too, to think through ahead of time. And as I mentioned earlier, to try to shift over to the positive. So she kept trying to say, well, is this a sin? Is this a sin? And I would just say, well, God's design is this. And, well, Jesus said marriage is this. And so I was pointing to what Scripture said, pointing away from my viewpoint, but also pointing to the positive of what Scripture said as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And I think, you know, it's funny because you can, again, when you're going to say something and point directly to Scripture where you say it's just all right here, or you reiterate it, because sometimes I'm like, okay, who's actually going to look it up? So I'll just say it. But I have that with one of my friends. One of my best friends from high school is a lesbian, and she's not a believer. I have other friends who claim to be believers as homosexuals, but this one does not. But it's funny because we, you know, she almost had drew the line in saying, well, I don't think I can be your friend because you work for this Christian ministry and you've said stuff about this before. And so we had that whole conversation and she decided to let it go. But what I do affirm in her is she has an adopted daughter and she is a great parent, and she is a great, and always, I mean, you know, sometimes I'm like, I wish you were my mom because you are doing yet another educational opportunity that's just amazing and you're a superstar, whatever. But so we do go there. Let's just talk briefly here in the last couple of minutes about disagreeing with other Christians, because I think that's somewhere that we can often find ourselves as well. So maybe not on the on the non-negotiables, but on some of the negotiable things, whether that is politics or doctrine or moral practices or something like that. It seems like we can often get caught up in this. I mean, churches split over it. People form their own little factions and clubs on social media and beyond around this. How have you guys kind of dealt with, you know, being in those types of waters?
Gosh, there's plenty of that. So, you know, I share in love when I feel led. I don't always just offer my opinion. That's the first thing. You know, I'm not there to say, well, I'm a better Christian because of this or that. I might ask why, again, going back to the questions, you know, why? Why do you think that? Why do you feel that? That's always been, I came to Christ later in life, so I had a lot of questions about the different denominations and what was different about the Catholic versus Nazarene, this, that, and the other. And that's where I found some of my greater conversations and opportunities to grow and learn how to talk to people about things. And I don't think you say we'd ever resolved issues, but came back to the core beliefs. But it was interesting dialogue. But respect is always at the center of that.
You know, I serve on session at our church, and we once had a 7-month debate about whether or not they should be allowed to bring coffee into the sanctuary. And it was one of these things where our pastor at the time was very low on confrontation. And so whenever things started to escalate, he'd always kind of say, well, let's table that till next month. And it wound up taking 7 months before we voted, yes, it's okay to bring in a cup of coffee as long as it has a top on it.
You okay.
know? And so one of the things I learned from him, you know, is the patience factor, that it takes time sometimes to have a discussion. And so when it came to actually we had this big denominational decision to make as a church, and we wound up leaving the denomination we were in to join another denomination. And it, to me, it wasn't that I was any smarter than anybody else, but it seemed very clear to me that it was the right thing to do at the time. But it took, again, like 6 months to come to that conclusion because he needed consensus, but it was a matter of being patient. Mm-hmm. So I think when you disagree with someone, don't try and solve the problem right away. Take a little time, you know, just have banter about it. You don't have to, you know, neatly tie it all up in a neat little package.
Yeah. I think it's great, too, to think of where that person might be coming from, like whether it's generationally or culturally or whatever. I remember thinking this a lot with my mom, because my mom being so much older, whenever something would go down in church, I could exactly predict where my mom would go with it. Like when, you know, the first time I saw a girl walk up on the worship team in flip-flops, I was like, Jesus, take the wheel, because this girl's going to get confronted after the service. And she did. And I would try to have a conversation with my mom about, Mom, you know, flip-flops, it's a totally different game right now. This is why, you know, this generation, it's like you can wear them as a dress shoe. And then I would try to talk to the teens, you know, and the young adults about, like, you know, think about the older folks, because this was a big deal for them and still is. And, you know, they're trying to preserve the carpet that most of them paid for, you know, and that's why they don't want the coffee. They love the organ because they, you know, that's very nostalgic for them and the experience they grew up with and stuff. So I think sometimes just putting ourselves in the other person's shoes can help some too. All right. Well, good thoughts, you guys. Of course, there are many different directions we could go with this, and this was just a start. But hopefully, all of you out there, it gives you a few ideas for as you get in those contentious conversations or are tempted to start one, how you can maybe do that with a little bit more grace and love, still holding on to truth. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.